Our three pillars are safety, performance, and sustainability. We also had probably the most stringent standards they've ever experienced. If an ingredient is natural, that doesn't always mean that it is safe. The term natural fragrance is on the ingredient list, then you don't really know what's in it. If we're going to put an efficacious active ingredient in a product, it's going to be at a level that's clinically proven to actually perform and show results. The future is definitely bright in terms of opportunities and options when it comes to safety. For product.
Welcome to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast, where we meet the world's top experts to explore the secrets of health, mindset, longevity, and so much more. Are you ready to take charge of your existence and biohack your life? This show is for you. Please keep in mind, we're not dispensing medical advice and are not responsible for any outcomes you may experience from implementing the tactics lying herein. Welcome back to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. Friends, I have been looking forward to this episode for so long. Ever since I discovered Crunchy, I was hoping so much that I would be able to interview one of the founders, and that finally happened, and Melanie is absolutely incredible. Not me, Melanie. I'm talking about Crunchy's co-founder, Melanie. She is not only so kind, but I was blown away by her knowledge when it comes to the skincare industry. She knows her stuff, and her standards for Crunchy are insane. You guys know I am obsessed with safe skincare and makeup and have been for years, and I am honestly blown away by Crunchy's standards, and their products are absolutely incredible. We talk about all that in today's show. And by the way, there is a special offer right now for Crunchy. Listeners can get a free Power Light Eye Cream that is a $48 value with the purchase of $150 or more in skincare sets. I am obsessed with these products. I cannot recommend them enough. You'll understand even more why after you listen to today's episode. To get that offer, just go to crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. That's crunchy.com/MelanieAvalon. If it is your first purchase, I will ship you a free gift after your first order. And new customers, by the way, can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off. So crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon with the coupon code ADVOCATE10 for 10% off. And you get a free Power Light Eye Cream with the purchase of $150 or more in skincare sets. Prepare to have your mind blown on all things skincare in today's episode. We talk about the hidden toxic ingredients you need to be looking for, the sneaky problems with fragrance, the changes that have happened in the FDA and the future of that, the actual need for preservatives in skincare products. Yes, maybe you don't want makeup that is, quote, preservative free, whether or not you should be concerned about seed oils in skincare, alternatives to retinol, the problems with lash growth serum, and so much more. The show notes for today's episode will be at melanieavalon.com/crunchypodcast. That's CRUNCHI podcast. Those show notes will have a full transcript as well as links to everything that we talked about. So definitely check that out. I cannot wait to hear what you guys think. Definitely let me know in my Facebook group, IF Biohackers. Intermittent fasting plus real foods plus life. Comment something you learned or something that resonated with you on the pinned post to enter to win, something that I love. And then check out my Instagram, find the Friday announcement post. And again, comment there to enter to win, something that I love. So again, friends, I cannot recommend getting Crunchy products enough. Shop at crunchy.com, crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon, and use the code ADVOCATE10 if you are a new customer to get 10% off. New customers will also get a gift from me in the mail, so look for that. And for a limited time, you can get a free Power Light Eye Cream with the purchase of $150 or more in skincare sets. Hey, friends. Did you know that one of our largest sources of toxic exposure each and every day is through our skincare and makeup? It is so frightening the effects these compounds can have on our health. So we put these products on to help us look better, and yet they actually can be aging us, contributing to health issues, fertility issues, thyroid issues, mood issues, and ready for something potentially even more shocking? A lot of these endocrine disruptors are actually obesogens, meaning they cause your body to gain weight and make it harder to lose weight. That's right, your skincare and makeup may be hindering your weight loss goals. Europe has banned thousands of these compounds, and the US has banned around a dozen. There's even a loophole from the 1960s that allows companies to put whatever they want in their products. and they don't even have to tell you. That's why I am overwhelmingly careful about the skincare and makeup that I use. But here's the thing. It can be hard to find skincare and makeup that is non-toxic and actually works. And then on top of that, that actually has all the products you need. I have found two companies. I am obsessed with their standards and use them every single day of my life and cannot recommend them enough. That's Counter, formerly known as Beauty Counter, and Crunchy. Both of these companies have incredible standards when it comes to what they put in their products. You can truly feel good about using them, and they actually work. For Counter products, go to melanieavalon.com/counter. And for Crunchy products, go to crunchy.com. That's crunchy.com/melanieavalon. New Crunchy customers can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off. You'll also receive something special from me after your first order. I also highly recommend joining both of their loyalty programs. It's completely free to join, and with every purchase, you'll earn credit as well as other fun goodies. For all the latest updates, new products, specials, deals, and fun things for me, because yes, I love giving things away, get on my email list. That's at melanieavalon.com/cleanbeauty. You can also get text updates when you text skincare to 877-861-8318. That's skincare to 877-861-8318. So again, to shop with me and get a free gift from me after your first order, go to melanieavalon.com/counter and also crunchy.com/melanieavalon. And new customers use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 at Crunchy to get 10% off site-wide. And again, definitely join their free loyalty programs to earn credit on every order. Hey friends, exciting news. My Avalon X Spirulina is back in stock and now at a reduced price. Plus you get free shipping and my coupon code works on top of that sale price. Spirulina is honestly one of the most nutrient-dense things that you can put in your body in a whole foods, easy to eat form. It's a blue-green algae, which is a complete vegan protein packed with an incredible array of nutrients. We are talking 100% of your daily hard-to-get vitamin K, 625% of vitamin B12, over 1,000% of vitamin A, 86% of chromium, 27% of vitamin B2, plus so much more, including iron, GLA, the powerful antioxidant superoxide dismutase, and even glutathione. In fact, spirulina is so uniquely nutritious that it was actually studied by NASA to support the astronauts. I searched high and low to find the very best spirulina out there. Ours comes from a wonderful, sustainable, clean, environmentally friendly production facility in Hawaii. Not Thailand, Hawaii. And then on top of that, we did our own third-party testing for over 70 pesticides, heavy metals, toxins, all the things. This is the cleanest spirulina out there. And with spirulina, you can simplify your supplement routine and support your nutrition in one easy step. The tablets are super versatile. You can swallow them whole, blend them into smoothies, crush them up, or honestly, just eat them like I do. And again, we were out of stock, but now Avalon X Spirulina is finally back in stock at a reduced price, and my coupon code MelanieAvalon works on top of that too. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to avalonx.us/spirulina and use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off our new reduced price plus free shipping. That's avalonx.us/spirulina with the coupon code MelanieAvalon. All right, I think that's all the things. Without further ado, please enjoy this fabulous conversation with Melanie. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the show. I am so incredibly excited about the conversation I am about to have. It is a long time coming, and oh my goodness, this has such a backstory leading up to this. So, as you guys know, I am majorly obsessed with and passionate about safe skincare and makeup. I talk about it all the time. There's just so much craziness in the cosmetic and skincare industry that is shocking once your eyes are opened. And ever since I've discovered the importance of this, I've been on the hunt for safe brands and makeup and skincare that actually works. And as you guys know, I was working with Beauty Counter for a long, long time. I love Beauty Counter. I adore Beauty Counter. I still do. They temporarily were, it was a whole drama thing, but they dissolved and they're back a little bit right now. But in any case, when that happened, it was kind of like a miniature panic moment because they were my go-to brand that had all the things and I really trusted them with safety. And so I was kind of left in this hole of what do I do now? And I have to find, you know, some more safe skincare brands. And so I went on the hunt, and not that I'm happy that happened with Beauty Counter, but, and at the same time, that is how I found this incredible brand called Crunchy. And oh my goodness, friends. So it's C-R-U-N-C-H-I, Crunchy. And the standards of this company are so incredible. I was blown away. And what's really cool is they have a lot of products that are kind of a similar swap that you can do if you have existing Beauty Counter products. Basically, it was a really nice transition for people to kind of swap over their products and fill that hole. But in any case, I was blown away by all the standards in this company and the quality of the products and how incredible they are. And you guys are loving them. I'm hearing that daily from everybody. And so I was dying to interview the incredible people behind this company. And that's why I am here today with Melanie Petschke, a fellow Melanie, which is exciting. And she is the co-founder of Crunchy, and she knows her stuff. She is a board certified family nurse practitioner with a passion for disease prevention. And she spent over a decade studying emerging research surrounding the potential health implications of environmental toxin exposure, which is, like I said, and we will talk about one of the main issues with safe skincare and makeup, or with skincare and makeup that's not safe, I should say. So, Melanie, first of all, thank you so much for creating Crunchy because you are changing so many lives. And thank you so much for being here right now with me today.
Absolutely. It is an absolute pleasure. And I'm so excited to dive into some of these topics because just from the caliber of the types of topics we want to discuss, I can tell that you have an incredibly savvy audience and group. So I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. And yeah, they love it. I love it. So we are all here for it. So I have so many questions for you. Honestly, like the second I found Crunchy with Beauty Counter, you actually weren't able to interview people from the company on the show just because of their policies. So when I found Crunchy, I was like, oh my goodness, maybe I can actually interview somebody from the company. So this is really, really exciting for me. So to start things off, your personal story, what cued you in to the issue with environmental toxins today, and in particular skincare and makeup? Did you ever think you would land here with what you're doing?
Yeah, no, and that's a really common question I get because it's a very serendipitous series of events. But I actually, a lot of people find it surprising that in my training as a family nurse practitioner, I did not learn any of this, which is very eye-opening and not surprising when you kind of understand the history of cosmetics in general in the United States. But it was not until I was pregnant with my first child, my son, who is now 13 and a half, oh my goodness, that I started down this path and really starting to pay attention to more of the chemicals just in our environment, you know, what I was bringing into my house in terms of food, really making good choices in terms of organic produce and non-GMO foods, and making sure that I was looking at preservatives and things in certain foods. So that kind of kicked it off. And I'd living in the city of Seattle at the time, I was definitely in an environment where this was being encouraged naturally just among some colleagues. And then after my son was born, I participated in a group called First Weeks. And it was essentially a mom's group where we were able to sit around with our babies and just talk about all sorts of topics. And it was actually led by a master's prepared nurse at the time. And I remember there was this one day when I was sitting there and a gal raised her hand and she said, has anybody here found a clean mascara, or I think she said safe mascara? She said, I have scoured the EWG website and I have tried every one of them on there. I just am not happy with the performance of any of them. Does anyone have a suggestion? And I sat there with my notebook and I wrote down what she said, because I was like, what is this woman talking about? What is she talking about? Why is she asking this? And so that night I went home and I went down this rabbit hole on the cosmetic side, because despite the fact that, you know, our skin is our largest organ, other than sunscreen and maybe deodorant, I had not even really gone there in my mind. And so when I started looking through this and had that realization that the FDA is not doing the protection of consumers that I had assumed it was doing, I was horrified and shocked. So that really kicked off my journey, and I couldn't learn enough at that point. And I think it was so frustrating being in healthcare, where disease prevention and health promotion are so critical and the foundation of why I chose that career, and to know that not a single word of this was ever discussed in my training was really upsetting. And then also too, having patients that would come in with, you know, fresh out of chemotherapy and radiation, and not a single word had been spoken, not just about nutrition, but about skincare and about, you know, what products they were using on their bodies, their skin, their largest organ. So it really definitely fueled my interest and passion for the topic. And then it kind of progressed from there.
I'm really glad you filled that need with the mascara, because the Crunchy Mascara it's the best mascara I've ever used. Like, actually, normally I would have to like combine mascaras together to like get the perfect mascara. The Shattered Mascara is amazing. Amazing.
Oh, I love it. Thank you for sharing that.
It's like a one-stop shop, which is amazing.
I love hearing that.
You mentioned the sunscreen and deodorant you heard about with their potential for toxicity. Why do you think like those are the two things that got focus on? Are they substantially more toxic than everything else, or?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I think because sunscreens in general have been under scrutiny since the beginning of time, because you have the two categories. You've got your mineral sunscreens and then you've got your chemical sunscreens. And I think people maybe naturally heard the word chemical and it got their attention perhaps. And then there was definitely, I know, but when it comes to sunscreens, based on the fact that they're, you know, technically considered a drug regulated by the FDA, I do believe perhaps there was probably more media attention pointing to these questions that people were raising. Again, it was one of the first things that I ever paid attention to as a consumer. For some reason, I didn't think about anything else. I hadn't thought about, you know, necessarily laundry detergent yet or anything like that, or lotion. But for some reason, sunscreen definitely got my attention. So that's an excellent question. And then I know the debate about deodorant has been going on since as long as I can remember. My mom, even just as a teen, would every year gift me one of those rock salt deodorants and try to convince me to change, which is so funny to me. And I would fight with her because I would say, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, are there other options? Or just, I would kind of thank her, but gift it right back because I just knew I couldn't wear it. So I think the fact that aluminum has had attention, the fact that the place where we put our deodorant is such a vulnerable part of our body. And I think people automatically think lymph nodes, they think breast cancer, they think that upper outer quadrant that is known for having the most amount of cancer. And I think they draw their own level of suspicion or conclusions from that. So that would be my guess as to why those two, but it's been it has carried through and been very consistent in consumer behavior in general. I call them gateway products, because once someone starts to pay attention to those two, then the rest just kind of falls into place, because they recognize that it's not just, you know, it's so much more than a chemical sunscreen or so much more than aluminum and a deodorant. And of course, there's many other ingredients in deodorant that are concerning, but that I believe is why those two got the most attention early on.
I just find it interesting because I hadn't really thought about this before, but there's all this awareness and concern with aluminum and deodorant, you know, a metal. But then people aren't aware that like lead, which is a really problematic metal, is, you know, super high in lipstick. But there's like just zero awareness about that. And that we're putting that on our mouth, where we're, you know, you're talking about like vulnerable places on our body. We're probably like swallowing it, you know? So it's just so interesting. So when you had this epiphany and realization, I mean, it's a big journey to launch a company and create products. What was that timeline and that experience? Was it more challenging than you thought?
I had moved to Florida. We crossed the country from Seattle. It was actually for my husband's job at the time. I was working full-time as a nurse practitioner. Then I had my, and I kind of continued my own research throughout this time. And I just kept adding to my collection. At this point, I was making my own deodorant in my KitchenAid mixer in my kitchen. And then I had friends that were asking me for samples of it and for gifts. And then I would get this growing list of requests. It was pretty funny. And eventually I just started giving out the recipe because I was like, I can't keep up with this. But I was working, or so I had my second child. So I had my daughter and I had planned on going back to work at least part-time pretty quickly after she was born, right around like the 4 or 6 month mark. But I got to that place and I just was not ready to go back yet. And she'd had some GI challenges. And so I made the choice to prolong that and I stayed at home. And while I was at home, I had a lot of time on my hands and I ended up finding a clean company that had home products and cleaning products. And they actually had a makeup line also, a skincare line. And I ended up being a consultant for that company for a short time. And it was interesting because the company had some great products, but they also had a cosmetic line, but it was so bad that I would not even reference it or talk about it with customers because I did not want them to feel any sort of bias to the rest of the products. And so I just ignored it and wouldn't talk about it. And that seemed to be the theme. So when I eventually met, so Kelly and I met, Kelly's the other co-founder of Crunchy, Kelly Kreisler. And when we met, we were right in the same stage of life. We were both kind of having this realization, growing our families and starting to pay attention to the things in our environment. I had the healthcare background from a patient side. She also was in healthcare, but on the pharmaceutical side, which is always kind of ironic and interesting. And she'd also had some infertility and some cancer in her family. So she was very aware of environmental toxins and was also learning. And we worked together and were actually using this opportunity as a platform to educate in our community about this topic. And so we would set up at a vegan cafe downtown Stewart and we would have little workshops where we would teach people about this information. And it was kind of how we started. And then at one point that company got acquired by another company and pretty much all of the products that we loved ended up either changing or being dissolved. And it was actually Kelly's idea. And she, because at this point we just could not find a clean cosmetic company that we were happy with. And specifically makeup is what I'm referring to. We could not find a clean foundation to save our lives. You know, mascara was challenging. So the list was so long. So she got the crazy idea and said, you know, we cannot find this. This doesn't exist. Let's create our own. And I thought she was out of her mind because we both had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old each at the same time at this moment. And I was trying to picture how this would work exactly. But I also am incredibly entrepreneurial and I love challenges. So it really didn't take long before she convinced me because she's definitely like more of the go-getter, do it scared, jump before you're ready type. And I'm much more the calculated one, but she got me there. So I said, okay, let's do it. We learned two things very quickly. Number one thing we learned is, holy smokes, there's a reason that nobody's doing this. It's incredibly challenging. We also learned very quickly how much of a need there was. I mean, it became apparent since day, you know, pre-launch, it was apparent. And then from day one of launch, it just took off from there. And then we just continued to grow and grow. So when we actually launched out of Kelly's home office and guest bedroom. Her guest bedroom was our fulfillment center. We would have porch pickups on her front porch. We did not even have a website when we launched. We had a landing page you could go to. And then we had some paper order forms or you could call us to place an order. And then eventually, of course, we had a website and grew and grew and grew from there.
Wait, so what year was that?
That was in 2016, January 2016. So we're coming up on our 9th anniversary this January.
Crazy. And what products did you launch with originally?
So the number one product that was the most critical to us and really the reason that we launched Crunchy was foundation. At the time, we had tried so many different brands and that was the time in life when we learned the true definition of a greenwasher. So for those that don't know that term in current days, basically a greenwasher is someone that or brand that can look like somehow is perceived that it's a cleaner or safer ingredient brand. But when you dive deep and look closer at the ingredient list, there's definitely some holes and some questions, and doesn't end up always being the case. So we were in a position where we thought we had found a solution. And what it turned out to be is there was one or two products in the line that met our standards. But then when we started to look closer at all of the products, that's where we were fooled and we were so frustrated with that. So we knew that if we were going to do this, we were absolutely going to do it right. And we were not going to be, we were going to be draw a very, very hard line in the sand and not cross that line. And that's really what we've stuck to.
That's ambitious to start with foundation, because it requires, I'm assuming, like all the different shades.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't think we thought that part through.
I'm just thinking, like, I would not start with foundation.
I am going to be totally honest. I remember sitting back thinking, like, why did we not think how complicated it would be, especially as a new brand? So it was very challenging because we wanted to offer 100 shades. But of course, we in the beginning, we couldn't. We scaled that up shade-wise as fast as we possibly could because we wanted to be inclusive, of course. So that was something that definitely made it more challenging, but something we were on top of right away because we saw the need. And of course, we're not a brand even today that has 60 or 100 shades of foundation, but we have managed to find such a solid formula with some undertones that are, you know, very, very chameleon-like or forgiving, that we actually are able to manage even just, you know, without having to have the high numbers that you maybe would find in some of the larger or more conventional brands. But of course, we are always have our wish list. I mean, we already have our next shades planned. We just have to grow to get there as we continue to expand and, you know, fill needs between shades so people aren't having to mix them and fill needs for undertones that maybe don't work with more of a neutral undertone. So yeah, definitely a challenge.
Hey friends, I'm about to tell you how to get 10% off the ideal coffee when it comes to supporting your health. So if you guys know me, you know I am obsessed with optimizing basically everything I consume, and that especially relates to coffee. Did you know that coffee is one of the most powerful sources of antioxidants in the modern diet? And yet, not all coffee is created equal. Between sourcing, farming practices, roasting, and contaminants, there can be a huge difference in the health impact of the coffee that you drink. That is exactly why I created Glow Coffee. Glow Coffee is a premium, specialty-grade Arabica coffee sourced from sustainable women-led farms in Colombia. It's organically grown, and we third-party test it meticulously, like every single lot, for purity. And what makes Glow especially exciting from a biohacking perspective is that we specifically made it to be rich in chlorogenic acid, or CGA. That's one of coffee's primary, most potent antioxidant compounds that has been studied for its role in metabolic health, inflammation, oxidative stress, and so much more. The elevation levels of the beans, how they're grown, and how they're roasted all affect CGA levels. So we searched high and low to find the perfect beans naturally high in CGA and tested them to confirm that, and then we roast those beans to preserve the CGA content. And then test after that as well. Coffee is already one of the potentially biggest contributors of antioxidants in the human diet, so I designed Glow Coffee to maximize those benefits while keeping it incredibly clean and high quality. And this coffee is so clean. It's grown organically, of course, but then we go even farther than that. We third-party test the beans for almost 100 toxic compounds, including pesticides, heavy metals, and mold. Oh, and perhaps the best part is it is absolutely delicious. We're talking smooth, low bitterness. It's honestly the exact coffee I personally want to drink every single day of my life. It's so bright, smooth, and delicious that it's also perfect black for fasting. No added sweeteners or cream needed. You can also splash it on your face for an antioxidant-rich toner. I do that every single day. After the sauna, after the shower, all the things. I created Glow Coffee because it's really about upgrading one of our most common daily habits into something that truly supports your health and performance. You can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. That's 10% off Glow Coffee with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. Are you ready to glow inside and out? Fuel your day, illuminate your way. That's glowcoffeeco.com.
Well, I have a lot of questions, obviously, about your standards and everything, but maybe we can talk a little bit about the problem first and how deep it goes. First of all, skincare and makeup in the U.S., why do you think it's not regulated? And just how bad is the problem? Like, how toxic are these products?
Yeah, so my understanding of the history of it all is it kind of happened by accident. There was a lot of innovation happening at a point in the United States where chemical companies were producing new ingredients, new chemicals, and they were finding uses for them all over the place in consumer goods. And consumers had demands. So they wanted products that lasted longer, products that were brighter, products that would stay on all day or have a smoother application. So it was basically companies were responding to what was consumers were asking for. And then slowly over time, this list of chemical ingredients that was available for cosmetics grew and grew and grew. And at that point, there was, and even still today, very, very, very little regulation on that growing list of chemicals. So we're talking like in the 80,000s of ingredients that can technically legally be put in a color cosmetic or a skincare product or a consumer, you know, product in general. And like I said, very, very little regulation. And I don't think at any point anyone stopped to say, number one, what is this exactly and what is it doing to my health long term? You know, how much of this is actually getting ingested or absorbed or affecting my body? And I think it just continued to go on that trajectory. And I think also because of that, because it'd been going on for so many decades, I genuinely don't think that people thought that there was any concern, because if it was on the shelf, of course it was FDA approved, was their assumption. But that was not accurate. There had been, you know, majority of ingredients had not been tested. Certain combinations haven't been tested, and long-term health effects still also. That is my understanding as to how we got into this mess in the first place. And, you know, similar things happened with food. I mean, food in America is a hot mess. And I think many people are slowly becoming aware of that. But similar to food, people just don't think about it. They don't stop and say, what is making that drink glow in the dark? And why is that mac and cheese so bright? That's the part. It's just, you know, it's consumer behavior and it's companies trying to sell really good products. And that is a nightmare combination over time.
It's like it sort of has to be really in your face sometimes for people to think about it. You mentioned the glow in the dark stuff. And I remember when I was little, because my mom was not super intense about any of this stuff, like, you know, the chemicals and toxins in food. But she would say, randomly, she would like focus on like just a few things, like blue Kool-Aid she was not about. And she was like, if it's that blue, like, what is it doing to your insides, like turning you blue? But it took like blue Kool-Aid to like realize that there might be a problem compared to, you know, when it's really rampant and everything. I've heard that like at least when we eat something, our body is accustomed to, you know, the majority of our immune system is in our gut. It's like set up to, you know, detox and like look for bad nefarious things coming in. Compared to the skin, I don't know that there's necessarily that system in place. And so how much of these compounds actually get into our bloodstream from our skin?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And you definitely want to recognize and be a savvy consumer and know that there's false information on this topic floating around out there. So if you ever hear somebody say 100% of what you put on your skin gets absorbed into your bloodstream, that is inaccurate for sure. And I actually think it causes harm to the industry, because it's just perpetuating false information. But the reality is, yes, absolutely. As you can imagine, you know, in medicine, they create topical medications and they create patches and transdermal methods of of medication administration because it bypasses the digestive system. It bypasses the gut and it gets into the bloodstream in a more effective way for certain compounds, for certain, you know, ingredients, pharmaceuticals, whatever the medication is. So similar to that, what you put on your skin also bypasses that system. And depending on many factors, can absolutely get into your bloodstream and affect your body. One of the first studies, and one of the studies that seems to be cited quite often, was done, because I dug deep. I was like, where did this stat come from? It was the one that had to do with a 60% absorption and the number of seconds. So I dug, and what I found is there was a study done on the VOC levels found in water and how that was being absorbed in the skin of humans. And they were able to measure that. And that was where some of the first awareness came from, just as one example. A good reminder why also water filters are important.
Yeah, I think people just really don't think about this with the absorption. And to clarify with that, you're talking about the, all of these compounds that are allowed in conventional skincare and makeup. So when we say allowed, is it basically that anything's allowed unless it's proven to be not allowed? How does that work? Can anything go?
Yeah. So this is kind of in the middle of evolving, but until very recently, there was, you could count on just over two hands how many chemicals were actually regulated or restricted or banned in products in the United States, which is incredibly terrifying. And then what's happening is there's been some slow movement for the first time in over 80 years, you know, since 1938, that was the last time the FDA addended the Food and Drug Act, which is terrifying. And it was only a few pages long to begin with. And so the most recent, I guess, change I would say to that, there's a combination of two things. Number one is there is what's called MOCRA. So the Modernization of Cosmetics Regulation Act. And this was something that was enacted in the end of 2022 and then has slowly kind of rolled out over time. And initially, there was this massive celebration. Everybody was so excited. Finally, we were making change and we were going to be able to protect consumers so they don't need a PhD in order to go shopping at the grocery store. And then what happened is as we started to slowly learn exactly what that meant, I think we got a little bit or a lot deflated and let down, because the reality is while it's great to be making change, it still has so far to go. And then another thing that's interesting is that we're starting to see states start to pick up the slack where the FDA on a federal level is not really moving fast enough. So now this is going to be interesting, because there are many states that have really stepped up what their own state regulations are. And if you're a cosmetic company and you're selling to the entire United States and one state says, no, you may not have PFAS in your cosmetics and they're banned now. And another state is, you know, has a longer list of ingredients that you cannot use. And then we've got California with Prop 65 that's continuing to grow as well. That is going to move things, I think, even faster, because depending on how they are enforcing this and depending on how this goes, I think cosmetic companies are definitely paying attention. Conventional ones that have not ever had to worry about this or pay attention. So that's the positives. But yeah, MOCRA as a whole is pretty minor. The good news is that now at least companies have to register their cosmetics with the FDA. So at least we know we know the companies are out there and exist. I know that sounds crazy. So there's product registration. There's now adverse event reporting. So in the past, I don't know if you ever heard of the story about the hair company that had like 20,000 customers that had hair loss as a result of this product. But only a couple hundred, like only 200 of them had even been reported to the FDA. So now they have a list of adverse events, you know, some serious especially, and now there's a number of days that a company, if somebody comes forward with one of these adverse events, which that list is very extreme, but if somebody comes forward with something that's on the list, the company now has 15, starting, this is actually starting January 1st, the company has 15 days to report that to the FDA. And then some very, you know, very important follow-up and details that have to be reported along with it. And then companies have to also keep track in general of adverse events that might get reported, even if they're not the serious ones that have to go to the FDA. So that's progress, I would say. If somebody is, you know, disfigured or hospitalized or dies from a cosmetic or loses their eyesight, at least now the FDA knows about it. So that's good. But that's what I mean as an example of how much more we have to go. And then there's some additional pieces having to do with safety substantiation. Again, so much room there. It was one of those things that at the beginning sounded really exciting and sounded like a lot of progress, but at this point, it's pretty minimal in terms of how effective it is. But the good news is that we're headed in the right direction. States seem to be also moving forward at a faster pace. So ultimately, it will just get better and better, hopefully.
So it sounds like maybe we were hoping for more immediate actual like changes in products, and instead it was more just a little bit more transparency and a registration.
Yeah, pretty much. I was so excited because there was talk of fragrance disclosure.
Oh, that would be so exciting. Can you tell listeners, I talk about this all the time, but can you talk about the problem with fragrance?
Yes, absolutely. So fragrance is one of those loopholes that cosmetic companies can utilize, because if you put the word fragrance on a label, you don't have to actually disclose what the fragrance is. And this came about because it's proprietary information where companies wanted to protect their IP and protect their special formula to make, for example, whatever their lotion smells like. They didn't want anybody else to be able to copy it. So you understand where it came from. But what's terrifying is there's absolutely no regulation around it. So you can have the word fragrance on the label and you can put whatever the heck you want underneath that umbrella of fragrance. And it's fascinating because how do you know what part is truly part of the fragrance that got snuck through that loophole versus not? I mean, there's just so many examples of where that can go wrong. But fragrance as a whole, just as an ingredient, typically has endocrine disruptors as some of the main components to it, such as phthalates. And these are ingredients that are probably in the top five of the most potentially harmful ingredients that we can put on our skin or in our environment, not just at times of life when we are most vulnerable, like puberty and pregnancy and childhood, but in general, over a lifetime. I mean, the body burden alone of the phthalate exposure has major consequences. And, you know, everybody has their own theories, but the fact that fertility is plummeting here in the United States, I definitely raise questions. Another clue is when, I don't know if you've ever known this or heard about this, but I have seen signs and read articles and heard that fertility clinics actually put signs up that say you may not wear any sort of fragrance of any sort into the office because they are so concerned with the effect that will have not just the individuals that are there, but possibly the embryos and things like that. So we know it's not good, but yet we've got a long way to go in terms of regulation for that.
Hey friends, did you know there is an ancient botanical that modern research shows performs on a level comparable to metformin when it comes to supporting healthy blood sugar levels? And not only that, this compound also supports the gut microbiome, healthy cholesterol levels, and even stimulates the AMPK pathway in the body to support cellular cleanup and longevity. You might have heard about AMPK. We talk about it a lot in the context of fasting, which also stimulates it. I am talking about berberine. I take berberine every single day of my life, and I see massive differences on my CGM, my continuous glucose monitor, when I use it. I take it to support my fast and before meals to reduce blood sugar levels. It is a powerhouse of a compound. And like I said, people are prescribed the pharmaceutical metformin to control their blood sugar levels when they could be taking this completely natural compound that has been used for thousands of years in both ancient traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine. I wanted to make the best berberine on the market, so that's why I created Avalon X Berberine 500. We did so much testing to find the most potent, pure, and clean form available. There's no problematic fillers, no common allergens, just pure, vegan, lab-tested berberine extracted from traditional sources. Friends, I am not kidding the difference I see on my blood sugar levels with this berberine. We're talking no post-meal spikes when I eat all that fruit and lower fasting blood sugar levels. It also reduced my HbA1c and my cholesterol levels. You can get it at avalonx.us and the coupon code IFPODCAST will get you 10% off. You can also get a one-time 20% off coupon code when you text AvalonX to 877-861-8318. That's AvalonX to 877-861-8318. And you can get a 15% off coupon code by signing up for email updates. For that, just go to avalonx.us/email list. Again, friends, this is one of the most powerful compounds you can add into your health and wellness routine. Healthy blood sugar control, even if you're not pre-diabetic or diabetic, is so important. And berberine helps support that. It is the ultimate compound for blood sugar control, cholesterol, your gut microbiome, and longevity. Get it at avalonx.us with the coupon code IFPODCAST.
Fragrance is really interesting because, I mean, this might sound a little bit extreme, but it's similar to smoking in that it is both harming the individual and, depending on, you know, how strong, it can be harming people, you know, around you. It's like, at least with like the skincare makeup, I want everybody to make their own choices and do what they want. And in general, people wearing skincare and makeup that's not safe doesn't actually affect me. But if you walk by somebody with like, you know, really, really heavy perfume, that affects you. There have been so many times where I feel it, like I viscerally feel the effects from it. And again, that's perfume. And we're talking more about fragrance and products where it's a smaller amount, but it's just, it's really interesting. And is there a cap on what percent of the product can be fragrance?
To my knowledge, so in terms of the number of ingredients that could potentially be in fragrance, I have heard numbers as high as 4,000 individual ingredients can qualify as a fragrance ingredient. In terms of percentages, it's, I don't know that there's any regulation on that, because if you think about perfume, it's the majority of it is fragrance, and it's usually in some sort of carrier, like an alcohol base or something like that. But yeah, to my knowledge, there are not regulations at all on that.
It's so crazy. And then, and you're speaking to this, you know, this buildup of exposure to toxins, you know, constantly. And I feel like there's also so much nuance in it, just with the toxicity potential of things, because A, there's the buildup. So these things build up over time. And, you know, when they're testing these, the toxicity of things in a lab, they're not really probably accounting for the total body burden and the buildup over time. B, things can synergistically become toxic when they interact, that maybe they didn't have that toxic potential before, but then they interact. And then C, like the toxic dose response curve is so interesting, and that some compounds are only toxic in certain amounts, and they actually might be more toxic, for example, at a lower amount, you know, than what's tested or higher. So it's just, I just feel like these, any safety testings that even are out there, like, it's like, how applicable are they? They're like not in the context of how we live our lives and what we're exposed to.
Yep. And that's exactly the problem. You nailed it. And I agree with you with how they do impact others. I am very sensitive to fragrance. I remember, I can tell you to this day how miserable I was, for example, at my niece's graduation from college, because I was sitting behind a row of people that it smelled like a bottle of perfume had spilled or something. It was so powerful that I almost had to leave, because it gives you just an instant headache. Airplanes are another one.
I was going to say, I was literally just thinking of like, when you, the worst is when you sit on an airplane and somebody sits by you.
Yes, it could be illegal.
And what's frustrating about it is, that person is not intentionally trying to hurt you or anybody. So it shouldn't be legal, I don't think, you know?
I agree. And yes, I'm delicately dancing with this topic currently in my own household, because I have a preteen who is very much into things, you know, products that smell good. So her dream would be to go to Bath & Body Works and stock up, which she knows she's not allowed to step foot in that store. But there's a lot of gray area out there. And even in the gray area, or the ones that have been shown to be free of some of the worst offenders, they still have a very potent smell, and I cannot stand them in my house. So that is, it's a delicate dance that we play as as a family trying to navigate this stage. And I just continue to hope for more and more options as people learn and understand the need for cleaner and safer alternatives.
So like, I love taking Uber and I think it's amazing. And I have been known to get in an Uber and be like, oh, actually I can't, like, I can't.
I have been there. I have been there. That is such a classic example because you're trapped in such a small space and the air fresheners are, you know, they're there for a reason. Yes, that should be a checkbox if they don't have it yet.
I literally think this every time. Like, there should be like a no perfume Uber if you're listening.
Yes, I was going to say we should tag them and suggest it.
We'll pay more.
Yeah, I would rather. I don't care about conversation or no conversation. Just please, no fragrance.
I know. Because there's temperature of the air. There's conversation. We need, the scents, the perfume.
Air quality.
Air quality. Yes. Oh my gosh. You guys should do a collaboration, an Uber crunchy collaboration.
I love it. Well, the three of us.
Putting it out there to the universe. That'd be so epic. Okay. So when you sat down to like formulate, how difficult was it to create products that perform, that work, that are awesome, that exist within this parameter of safe ingredients? And then I have questions about like specific ingredients, but just starting with that. So like, I mean, clearly it's possible to make safe skincare makeup, but what was that process like and is like?
Yeah. So we were definitely trailblazers and we were definitely in an extremely challenging position because not only were we small and we couldn't place massive orders where, a manufacturer you'd really get their attention because we were just starting out, but we also had probably the most stringent standards they've ever experienced. So, but we really, really stuck to them because we were kind of like, what's the point? Why would we bother doing this if we're not going to check the boxes that we want to check? And we drew a line in the sand and we stuck with it. And I would say the biggest pieces that, or I should say the top three differentiators that we really stuck with that were not in the clean beauty space yet was at the time, there was so much controversy about the ingredient phenoxyethanol that it was on my no list from day one. And I told Kelly that because it had been debated and debated and debated and there was new research coming out. And I just said, it's not worth it. It's not worth it if there's other alternatives out there. So that was a huge challenge because it was such a mainstream as people moved away from parabens, there was only, so many options that had been utilized in cosmetics that were available that, and it's tricky because of course every formula is different. So you have to take those things into account and pH and what other ingredients there are, how much water is in it, how it's packaged. So that was definitely a huge challenge. And we absolutely stuck with that despite the path of most resistance with that one and found alternatives that were safe. Because when parabens kind of became the standard place, although it's shocking to me today how many products still have them in it. When I see it, I'm floored. But so parabens were kind of the first ones to get the reputation of endocrine disruption or endocrine hormone mimicking ingredients. And so society kind of naturally pushed the industry away from those. But then the substitutes that came in, had their own set of challenges. So some of the first were methyl ethyl theozolinone, that very long word that starts with an M that you see on the back of a lot of cosmetic products, a lot of liquid soaps, detergents, shampoos, hand soaps. And it is flagged and has been since I think 2012 on the list of dermatology allergen watch list, basically, because what happened is when that shift happened, there was this massive influx of dermatitis. And it took a while to figure out, but it was stemming from that ingredient that was being placed in formulas instead of phenoxyethanol, or excuse me, instead of parabens, because it was like kind of the natural default next one to put in there. And so that obviously, for many reasons, was on our no list. And then phenoxyethanol was one that was in the mix that was very, very common in cosmetics as a broad spectrum preservative, but we had our list that we had studied extensively and that we were comfortable with. And of course, especially with healthcare background, of course, the importance of broad spectrum preservation is critical when you're formulating cosmetics of any kind. If you see somebody that's bragging about preservative free, that should be a red flag. There's a few exceptions to that rule, but for the most part, preservative free should be walk the other direction, because every product needs to be, in terms of cosmetics, unless it's made at home and it's kept in the fridge and you're only going to use it for a few days. And even then it's could, you know, risky sometimes. Preservation is broad spectrum preservation is critical to prevent microbial growth. And of course, you know, if things grow, then that of course can be harmful, cause infections and skin issues. So we feel very strongly about the need for preservation. And it's interesting because that's kind of a rumor sometimes in clean beauty is, oh, that's not safe, or because, yeah, that's definitely the farthest thing from the direction we'd ever go. So we were able to, over time, work with our manufacturers and help them see the vision that we had. So yeah, preservation was definitely number one when it came to differentiating factors. And then there was a handful of others. Colorants were a big one. We only use to this day colorants that are in the iron oxide family or the mica family. So essentially naturally derived colorants versus petroleum or coal tar derived colorants. And that's incredibly rare, both in not just in conventional cosmetics, but also in clean beauty as well. So that's another one that's a big differentiator for us as well. And then of course we absolutely drew the line. Talc was non-negotiable, even if it was the type of talc that was claiming to be asbestos-free. That one was not worth it. We were able to find alternative ingredients that would not be anywhere close to the talc family, because that was just, it doesn't get any more extreme when it comes to cosmetics than risk of asbestos. So that was another big one that we really avoided as well. And I can go on, but those are the big ones.
In all the ingredients that you use, what is the role of screening for toxic exposure or the cleanliness of the source material versus the production process, both for you guys and like in general? Can things get contaminated in processing?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a huge issue. And what's terrifying about that is the contamination during the processing. So the most common place you see this is in ingredients called ethoxylated ingredients. And in the processing through the ethoxylation process, 1,4-dioxane and ethylene oxide are the contaminants that are at most risk for remaining in the product at some level. And those two ingredients that I just listed are the two biggest heavy hitters when it comes to safety for humans that exist. So that piece right there is one of the biggest challenges. And as a consumer, you can't pick up an ingredient label and look and see the word ethoxylated ingredient very often, at least. And you can't pick up the ingredient list and see the word ethylene oxide or 1,4-dioxane because they're contaminants. They're not actual independent ingredients. So again, you need a PhD in chemistry to truly understand and protect yourself from ingredients like that. And they're everywhere. Ethoxylated ingredients are everywhere. They're oftentimes in emulsifiers or surfactants. So they're in the ingredients that where you're combining water and oil and helping them mix together in an emulsion. That's where you're going to find the ethoxylated type of ingredients. You'll find them also in soaps and detergents and things. They're just extremely common. And the part that's interesting is we've always just banned them 100%. But the process to remove the 1,4-dioxane and the ethylene oxide exists. It's like an extra step. And the majority of companies do not take that extra step because they don't have to, and it's more costly. I'm talking about ingredient companies. And so that's the part that's absolutely just infuriating. We have definitely have on our list to potentially explore someday the ones where they have removed that contaminant. We haven't gone there yet, just because it is one of those things where I would have to have a lot of very, very, very effective and convincing testing measures in order to go that direction. But it's nice to know that at least it's becoming more mainstream slowly and that it's something companies are talking about, and they're recognizing that companies are going to be asking for this. So where it used to be very black and white, where if you saw something that said, like that said Loreth, for example, ending in ETH on a ingredient list, for sure that's an ethoxylated ingredient, and for sure it's at risk for contamination. What's great about that, about the movement that companies and ingredient companies are taking, is that there may be a day, or there's starting to be a day, where if you see that ingredient, it doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't go through that last step. That's available now. And so that's something that's, it's good for the future, because it would be incredibly helpful to be able to have and use those ingredients in our formulations, because they're useful, they're helpful, they're solid and great ingredients that can really help a formulation. So the future is definitely bright in terms of opportunities and options when it comes to safer products and more options, I should say.
I'm super curious, just hearing all of that, the nuance of these ingredients in your products right now, like in your entire line, what would be the ingredients that people might look at and be concerned about in crunchy products? And it's just because of a lack of education surrounding, you know, the misconceptions, like we talked about with the preservatives. Would it be the preservatives, or are there any other ingredients that people might be like skeptical about?
Yeah, no, excellent question. And I would say the ones we hear about the most, it's a tie. Number one we hear about the most is dimethicone. So when we launched Crunchy, we had a whole philosophy already established. So, and we haven't really gotten into this, but our three pillars are safety, performance, and sustainability. Because our whole philosophy is, if you're going to work this hard to make a product clean, why are you going to stick it in a package that's going to contaminate it with BPA or BPS or some sort of concerning ingredient, you know, and beyond, and we can get into that. But so dimethicone, a lot of times, so when we were establishing our ingredient standards, we did not, absolutely knew, we did not want to rule out the use of quote unquote synthetic ingredients. We recognized that just because it was synthetic or synthetically derived did not automatically make it an unsafe ingredient. And it also, we learned that just because an ingredient is quote unquote natural, depending on, you know, whatever definition you use for the word natural, because there's many, if an ingredient is natural, that doesn't always mean that it is safe for use in a cosmetic or safe for use in general either. So we learned very early on that we would never want to call ourselves an all natural brand. That was not our goal. In fact, that was kind of our secret sauce early on, is that we recognized that these safe synthetics can be really beneficial in a formula. And we wanted them where they did have that safety backing or that safety data. So dimethicone is hands down the one ingredient that we stood apart in utilizing it, and also the one that got the attention of lots of lots of people that are learning to read ingredient lists, which is good. But there's not all dimethicones are created equal, which is where the concern comes from. So dimethicone as an ingredient, it's in the family of silicones, and it's a very large molecule. And a pure form of dimethicone, or dimethicone as an ingredient, is large enough to sit on top of the skin. It's a molecule to sit on top of the skin. So this is not an ingredient we would ever use in a skincare product. The times that people put it in a skincare product, it's designed for slip and designed to make it feel a certain way when it's applied. And it's almost designed to fake a glow that the product itself isn't creating. But in a makeup product like foundation, for example, it is fantastic. And it doesn't have to be a lot. We're not talking about a large amount. Not that that matters, because safety, you know, doesn't matter. It still needs to be safe. But it is designed to sit on top of the skin where you want your foundation to be. And you want it to, you know, be that canvas where it just is smooth and it sits on top of the skin instead of going into the fine lines or the crevices or the, you know, any kind of irregularity on top of the skin. You want it to sit on top. So that's where it's effective and helpful to have the molecule, you know, an ingredient like dimethicone. Now, some dimethicones are mixed with other ingredients also, typically ethoxylated ones, as a way to blend well with certain formulations. So that's where the flags get raised a lot of time. And then there's also, so there's difference between the type of dimethicone or silicone class that we use. And then there's cyclic silicones. And those are completely different in their makeup and completely different in terms of safety and health concerns because they're completely different ingredients. But sometimes they get put under the same umbrella. So it's just a matter of educating consumers to help them understand the differences. But it's definitely one we hear about for sure.
Are there any ingredients on the flip side where, because you mentioned how, you know, from the very beginning, you knew you didn't want to be, quote, all natural, that you're going to have safe synthetic ingredients as well. Are there, quote, natural ingredients that are often in skincare makeup that can actually be problematic?
Yeah. So the one that comes to mind, of course, is natural fragrance, because it kind of falls into that same loophole as regular fragrance that's labeled. So if the term natural fragrance is on the ingredient list, then you don't really know what's in it. It's a loophole. A fun fact about that is when we were formulating our products early on, and we did have some raw material smells that were not exactly desirable. So we were trying to find something that we could put in this product to just help it smell a little bit better than the natural raw material smell. And we would only do that if it was necessary. So we kind of took some opinions, and everybody concluded, yeah, that smells like dirt. You should probably add something to that. Okay. So we went on this journey to try to figure out what our options were to add a scent to our, so I'll give foundation as an example, because that was the very first one that we tackled. And I would call up these fragrance houses, and they would say, you know, we'd talk about the options. And so I would say, okay, can I see an ingredient list that shows me what's in such and such scent? And they would say, sorry, we can't do that. And I would say, okay, so I'm supposed to put this in my product that I'm formulating, and I'm not allowed to know what's actually in it. And they said, yes, that's correct, ma'am. And I said, okay. And they said, but don't worry, you can ask questions about what's not in it, and we will be able to answer those. And I said, okay, goodbye. Thank you so much.
I have 5,000 questions for you.
Yeah. Oh no, it would never end. It would be impossible. So we learned very early on that there will be very few choices when it comes to adding scent to our products. And it's definitely gotten a little bit more interesting as we've gone along. Where we landed with that product in particular was vanilla planifolia extract, was how we were able to just have a subtle scent to cover up the raw material smell. It wasn't overbearing, wasn't powerful, wasn't going to cause anybody to leave the elevator. You know, it's something that just ends up dissipating. A lot of people don't even know it's in there because it's simply to cover up that raw material smell. And that's it for that product example.
Hi, friends. I have very exciting news. So I know you guys already know and love Element and understand the importance of electrolytes for hydration, energy, focus, supporting your fasting, your workouts, all the things. Guess what? Element has a product that goes beyond electrolytes. What is it? Well, so I am very pro the benefits of caffeine. I love the cognitive benefits, the longevity benefits. And that said, I am a slow caffeine metabolizer, so I don't actually take in lots of caffeine. I've also learned that the form, dose, and balance of caffeine makes a huge difference in how you actually feel. That's why I am so excited that Element has launched a brand new lemonade iced tea. It's refreshing, delicious, lightly caffeinated, perfect for summer, and what I really love is the science behind it. So instead of relying on massive amounts of isolated synthetic caffeine like so many energy drinks out there do, Element Lemonade Iced Tea uses a full black tea extract, so alongside the caffeine, you naturally get compounds like L-theanine and polyphenols. The L-theanine actually helps smooth out the stimulant effect for a calmer, steadier energy experience with less spikes and crashes, while the polyphenols provide antioxidant support as well. And you guys know I am all about the antioxidants. And the incredible team at Element, including my personal hero, Rob Wolf, conducted a meticulous amount of research to find the perfect amount of caffeine, which is the sweet spot for sustained focus and energy without feeling overstimulated or wrecking your sleep later. That is exactly 50 milligrams of caffeine. On top of that,
They knew that caffeine can increase your need for critical minerals like sodium, potassium, and magnesium, so that's why Element Lemonade Iced Tea pairs the perfect amount of caffeine with a meaningful dose of electrolytes to support optimal hydration and performance. And of course, Element Lemonade Iced Tea is completely free of sugar, artificial colors, and all the other stuff that you do not want that are so commonly found in caffeinated drinks today. It's built on the same science-backed electrolyte formula that Element is known for, with sodium, potassium, and magnesium in ratios designed to support hydration and energy production. The result? You get your perfect pack of portable, easy-to-make lemonade iced tea that provides steady, clean energy that tastes delicious and actually feels good. As you guys know, Element is trusted by neuroscientists, functional medicine practitioners, professional athletes, including the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and they're even used by Navy SEALs and the Marines. So are you ready to up your drink level with the ultimate lemonade iced tea? You can get it. And when you get it, get a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. That's right, a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. Find your favorite flavor or share it with a friend. And by the way, Element has an amazing no questions asked refund policy, so you can try it completely risk-free. If for any reason you're not satisfied, they will give you your money back. Again, go to drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon for a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase, including their new lemonade iced tea.
One time I was trying to figure out what was in the natural flavors of some, I think it was like a raw horseradish or something. And I emailed the company on two different occasions and they gave me completely different answers. Like the different refs. I was like, I feel like they're just making stuff up. Like, you know, they don't know what's in it. They're just like telling me things. That was concerning. Another ingredient question for you is, what about the role of seed oils in the products? And the reason I'm asking that is that, like, the biohacking community, the holistic health community, the paleo community is very much in tune with the potential issues of eating seed oils and the omega-6s and the inflammatory potential. So what is the role of those in skincare products? Is that something to be concerned about?
Yeah, and you can imagine that in recent days, as the knowledge about this topic is growing, it is absolutely a question that we get frequently and more than ever. The good news is it is a completely different topic when you're dealing with something from a consumption basis versus a topical application basis. So that is the good news. That's the short answer, is you do not have to worry about seed oils in topical skincare products, cosmetics, skincare. The main concern, of course, is are they processed? Well, there's multiple, but one of the concerns is, are they processed with using hexane or other chemical-based solvents? That is definitely not permitted in our line. We will not permit the use of any ingredient, seed oil or not, that is processed in that manner. So that's number one. And then secondly, we naturally, in the sebum on our skin, actually contains PUFAs. So polyunsaturated fatty acids are actually already in existence in our sebum. So it's a completely different scenario when it's something that's topical. It actually can be positive for the impact of our skin. But I understand as a consumer how incredibly confusing that is.
Awesome. I have a question, because you're mentioning earlier about how this ingredient was added to the products to kind of give it like a fake glow. I always often reflect on the irony that, especially women, we wear all of this makeup and use the skincare in the hopes of like looking younger, but it actually might be aging us. I actually wonder if, because women live longer than men in general, so like women seem to exhibit a longer lifespan just from like data. So in theory, you would think that that would mean women are aging slower, is what you would think. It seems that women start to look older earlier than men do. And I wonder how much of that is the skincare that we're using. like women? Like we're like slathering it on our face all day.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And honestly, it's the first time I've ever been asked that question is in terms of like a true root cause or theory about that. That's tough because I could see the counter argument, which is in doing that, you're getting some level of sun protection, even if it's unintentional. So I could maybe see the counter argument to that if that was not the case, but that's an excellent question. And it would not surprise me if someday we conclude that that is in fact accurate.
And to that point, your line in general, is it mostly women who purchase? What about men?
No, that's an excellent question. So at this time, I don't have actual statistical data to date updating on the breakdown, but we are, because we started as color cosmetics, we naturally attracted the majority women. And then we expanded, you know, we eventually were convinced by our consumers, they begged and begged for skincare. So then we slowly started moving into skincare and we're actually still kind of moving in still, but we really wanted to do color first and do it well. But because of that, the majority of our customer base early on was women. Today, we are absolutely gaining more and more men. We're gaining teens, you know, all ages, which is great. And sometimes, as you probably know, the majority of buyers in a household are women. So they're making choices oftentimes for men. And if they're doing the research for things like this, but oftentimes, you know, they're the ones that are educating themselves and then they can make that choice too. So it's hard to exactly measure the percentages because even if they're being used by men, they might be purchased by women. But I can tell you both within our company and my own personal household, it is definitely effective and great for men to use also for lots of reasons.
I'm surprised because I'm in like product development as well. I'm surprised I didn't realize until now that for like the data, women are often purchasing for the men. That like did not occur to me that would like affect the data a little bit. I'm really curious, what are the most popular products with customers and what are your favorite products and Kelly's favorite products?
Oh gosh, that's always a question that we get asked. And every time I hate it because I'm like, I have so many.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah. But if we go to that, what's the one thing you couldn't live without kind of thing. All right. So I used to say our foundation when it came to color. I'm sorry, we've talked about foundation extensively at this point. So I used to say foundation. We have recently launched a tinted sunscreen with SPF 30 in it. And it's a lighter coverage. It's kind of a medium coverage, light coverage. It's still buildable, still has amazing coverage. And it has become my new favorite skin product. So it's like there's a time and a place for both. I definitely wear a foundation still for those evening things or for times where I might need or want a heavier coverage. But for that day-to-day, daily, quick 5-minute routine, it's perfect. And it's really hard to go wrong because it's kind of it's a chameleon formula. It just blends into your skin. You don't see it. So that's one, hands down, one of my new favorites. But I cannot live without the following, I'm going to say three skincare products. Our I Am Polished facial exfoliating scrub, it's called I Am Polished, is phenomenal facial exfoliator. And the key is applying it when you have clean, dry skin, because it has both a physical component to it as well as a quote unquote chemical exfoliant portion to it. And what it does is it allows you to have it work, you know, kind of both ways. And then you can cater it to your own needs. So if you're somebody that has super sensitive skin, well, depending on your definition of sensitive, may want to, you know, you can decide if it's a good product for you, but you can leave it on for 1 minute, 2 minutes, three, you know, I personally leave it on. I do not have sensitive skin, so I leave it on for 5 minutes, you know, at least to really get that full effectiveness for somebody with my skin type. But it is for sure one of my favorite products because you just get an immediate, instant performance. It's awesome how effective it is and how great your skin feels and looks after using it. So that one. And then I would say second is Golden Light. Golden Light is our multi-peptide facial serum, and it is truly liquid gold. It was called Golden Light for a reason. It is absolutely phenomenal. It's loaded with ingredients that are beneficial from an anti-aging standpoint, just from an overall feel and appearance standpoint. And that I can tell a difference if I do not have it. I recently went out of town. I ended up sharing, you know, giving a friend of mine my Golden Light because she was loving it. And I came home and I didn't have one on hand. And it took me, I just kept coming up with reasons to go pick it up. And there was a period of time that I think I set a record since the product has launched. And I could see a difference in my skin and it was driving me crazy. And I truly can tell a difference in that one as well. And then the third, I would say that I can't live without is Daylight Advance. So Daylight Advance is fantastic because it's got a combination of bakuchiol, which is a retinol alternative. It's got a very stable form of vitamin C that's actually different than our vitamin C serum. And then it's also got it's one of those where we have to pick and choose which ingredients you're going to talk about because there's so many good ingredients in it, if that makes sense. But I would say those are the top three favorites. Although it's very hard to choose.
What's the bestseller in general?
It of course has evolved over time, but definitely the three I just mentioned are bestsellers in the color cosmetic category. Foundation's huge, primer's huge, our finishing powder and our mascara are huge as well. I would say those are probably the top sellers.
I just want to say I love all of the names. Like, you guys nailed it. It's like the way I would name products. Like, it creates like an image of like glowing and light. And I'm obsessed with it. And now I have to try these products. I can't believe I haven't tried them. Quick question about the tinted sunscreen. You mentioned earlier, like, the counter argument about, you know, sun protection. And I think it's pretty established that one of the most aging things for our skin is the sun, which is, it's ironic because we also need the vitamin D, but you know, that's, it's definitely aging to our skin. So I'm hearing this about the tinted sunscreen. I'm like, oh, I should like be wearing that as a preventative because I don't at present. Like, the tinted sunscreen, the foundation, these cosmetic products, are they just like inert, benign when it comes to the skin, or do they actually enhance the skin? Like, do they have therapeutic benefits as well, like skincare?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that I didn't mention earlier, when it comes to just backing up to our skincare products, we have a philosophy. Another line I drew in the sand when we first launched Crunchy is if we're going to put a efficacious active ingredient in a product, it's going to be at a level that's clinically proven to actually perform and show results. Because otherwise, what's the point? I was absolutely shocked to find out from working with formulators, manufacturers, that that's not normal. And there is quite a limited number that follow that, which blows my mind. Because if you're not seeing results, you're not going to come back and keep buying the products. And you want people to see results. And if they're not efficacious, then again, what is the point? So that is something we felt very strongly about. When it comes to, so that's for skincare. When it comes to color, we love the idea of using our products also as an opportunity to infuse goodness and nutritive ingredients into the skin as well. So we use terms like it's not just makeup, it's skincare. And absolutely, I mean, we've got Tremel mushroom in our foundation and in our primer. We've got a host of just really beneficial oils and botanicals in our liquid blush and even in our eyeshadows and powders. We find a way to fit that in and lash nourishing ingredients in our mascara. So as long as you're putting it on and it's something that you're in a routine every day, might as well put some goodness in there also.
That's amazing. That is so great to hear. Oh, if I can make a product request. Well, you mentioned the lashes. Would you ever make a lash growth serum?
Oh, I am glad you asked. We would. So here, you know, the challenges with lash growth serums is the fact that the majority of the effective ones on the market have a pharmaceutical in them that is disguised underneath many, many, many pharmaceutical names. But it's essentially a derivative of the same active ingredient that's in Latisse. So, and it's designed, it was actually originally found because by accident, Latisse, before it was Latisse, was a glaucoma medication. And they found coincidentally that these glaucoma patients were having really long eyelash growth. And so that's how Latisse was originally born. And it sounds like a phenomenal concept on paper, you know, because sure, it's glaucoma medication, it's been studied and so forth, but the downside to this class of medications is, I mean, there's multiple. One, it can change the pigment color of your eye. Secondly, it thins the skin over time underneath your eye and on your lid. If you actually sit down and talk to enough dermatologists, they will tell you, now that these have been on the market for long enough, how many patients they're seeing that are coming that are having like fat loss underneath their eye and thinning, and it's causing them to actually look older. So even if they have longer lashes, their eye cavity itself is starting to look older, which is kind of counterproductive and not something that I think was super apparent right away. And then the other thing I hear about them is eye irritation. A lot of them have such eye irritation. And sometimes it's not always just noticeable at the beginning. It's something that eventually develops sensitivity over time. And that's when the sense of, you know, it develops. Those are ingredients. While on paper, they look amazing and wonderful, I would not touch them with a 10-foot pole, even though it's tempting, just because of what I have learned and heard about them. So when it came to formulation of future products and about the topic of lash growth serum, I made it very clear with my team early on. I said, I would love to come out with a lash growth serum, brow lash, you know, growth serum. However, I refuse until we have clinical data that is not a pharmaceutical in the Latisse class that is demonstrating efficacy, because that, again, what's the point? I'm not going to waste my time or my energy or my money putting something on my eyes every day because it's a step, you know, unless it's truly showing results and work. So what's great is we've had many years to be researching this and we absolutely have kind of cracked the code on what that looks like. And I can't say a whole lot, but it's absolutely on our product roadmap.
Okay. I'm excited. Okay. Yay. And maybe that's a good like question to wrap things up. The future of the company in general, what are you most excited about, looking forward to? Yeah. Where are things going from here?
One thing, so when it comes to clean products and clean products that perform, and then on top of that, clean products that perform that are packaged in sustainable packaging, I mean, those are three really tall orders and that have made kind of a path of challenge when it comes to different formulations. And at this time, we have 100% of our product packaging is for the primary portion of the packaging is plastic free, which is very, very challenging to attain. So my point in saying this is what's interesting about our product roadmap is that we take all of those factors into account, kind of like what I just shared with you is if we cannot check all three of those boxes, we're not going to launch a product at all. We just would delay it until we figure out a way we can do it. So we have so much on the product roadmap, and it's just a matter of making sure that we can effectively check those boxes. One thing that's great is that we are making headway as a society, as an industry, in terms of sustainable packaging options. We do the best we can, but it's really hard when it comes to pumps and caps and things like that. Refills are becoming more popular and more available. So we definitely brought in a lot of other materials that are making it more achievable, because it's really hard to ask somebody to put a gigantic glass jar in their shower, for example. So we're trying to constantly evolve as the sustainability options evolve also. But ultimately, yes, we have a whole long list of products, both in our current pipeline and then ones to follow once we are able to check all three of those boxes, and definitely evolving with Color Cosmetics, definitely continue down the path of meeting the needs of skincare and consumer needs as you know, consumer behavior shifts. And people ask too for different things. And then we're moving more into body care, which is very exciting. And the theme of wellness in general is a intuitive and natural next step for us, whatever that looks like, whether it's supplements that can also benefit the skin. It's definitely, you know, on our radar, I would say, but not anything soon. Just kind of the concept of wellness in general. We get a lot of requests for shampoo and conditioners, which are their own challenge in themselves. Yes. So
hairspray.
Yes. Hair products are the most challenging for sure.
Heat protectant spray.
Oh. Yeah. So challenging for those. for that category.
Well, that's amazing. And that was something I was literally, like I said in the beginning, blown away by when I started researching your company, the transparency and the information you have on your website about all of your standards is honestly mind-blowing. Like the packaging you talk about like how all the products are vegan with the exception of you like say the specific products and like the bees wax and where it's coming from. And you talk about how like how it's all US based except for like the pencils made in like a responsible or a sustainable German factory. It's just like, I really appreciate the education, the transparency, the lengths you're going to make these incredible products that are healthy and sustainable for everybody. So just like, thank you so much. And so when this episode airs, we were talking beforehand, we think there's going to be some sort of awesome special going on for the audience.
Yes, absolutely.
Listeners can always go to crunchy.com, that's crunchi.com/Melanie Avalon to shop with me there. New customers can use the coupon code advocate10 to get 10% off site-wide. And then, like I said, there should be some sort of special offer going on at this time as well, which I will put in the intro and also update. Yay. Well, thank you, Melanie. Like literally, thank you so much for what you're doing. Was there anything else you wanted to share with the audience?
I just am really grateful for the fact that you are so educated and have such a savvy consumer base, because honestly, the change is driven by our consumers. We vote with our dollars every time we pick up anything at the store or purchase anything online. We're making a statement. So I appreciate all of your efforts and energy to keep us moving in the direction that's going to better our health. So thank you. It's been an absolute honor and a privilege. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And what's kind of crazy is the last question I ask every single guest on the show. And it is because I appreciate mindset so much. And it's what is something that you're grateful for. And you just shared that.
That's fantastic. I intuitively.
You read my mind. We're on a wavelength here. Thank you again so much, Melanie. I'm so excited. I love Crunchy. I'm excited to see the future for you guys. And we'll have to have you back on, you know, in the future if you're down to update listeners.
Absolutely. We've got a host of topics we can still cover.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. For more information, you can check out my book, What When Wine, Lose Weight and Feel Great with Paleo-Style Meals, Intermittent Fasting, and Wine, as well as my blog, melanieavalon.com. Feel free to contact me at podcast@melanieavalon.com. And always remember, you got this.